This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Speed kills, and the lack of it is killing us. We'll talk about that tonight as it pertains to the DOJ, ATF, and other things. Jim Jordan joins us. What's going on with the Secret Service? Some border talk. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. Speed kills. That's a fact. Let's just talk about this, because this is going to come back to Pam Bondi, the DOJ, Pete Hegseth. That's going to come back to all of them. But speed, violence of action, kills. It's amazing, if you have any fascination with history, battle history, war history, how consistent that is with the greatest generals of all time. Genghis Khan, he would be here one day, and he would know that he had to move and move quickly before you could get ready. And boom, he was someplace you weren't ready for him, and boom, he got you. Julius Caesar was famous for it. He would always be a place earlier than he was supposed to be, wrong-footing you. Speed, violence of action, Alexander the Great, all of them. They all knew speed. Speed can wrong-foot the enemy, and the lack thereof can get you killed. That's really what it comes down to. If I'm Julius Caesar, Genghis Khan, Alexander the Great, and I have a city I want to take, an army I want to defeat, time is their friend and not mine. Because every minute I wait, every day I delay from getting there, those trenches they're digging are getting deeper. The booby traps are getting more elaborate. The fortifications are getting thicker. Every single day I delay, they get stronger and we get weaker. What we have now in the United States of America is an evil, corrupt criminal enterprise known as the United States government. Donald Trump was elected president in the promise that he would clean out that corruption. And to his credit, he appears to be intentional about doing so. His nominations, which obviously there's been some stinkers in there, but his cabinet picks have been dynamite. A-plus so far. Dynamite cabinet picks. And the reason they're dynamite is not because they're qualified. It's because they all appear to be reformers. He's got RFK coming in to deal with the HHS stuff. But RFK wants to go reform everything at the HHS. That's wonderful. Pete Hegseth wants to be SecDef. Donald Trump wants to be SecDef. But Pete Hegseth isn't going in there to try to do things the way things have always been done. He wants to reform things. We have reformers coming in. There is change coming. And that brings me to the speed or lack thereof. Today is, just make sure I get this right, yep, January 23rd. Why isn't Pam Bondi at the DOJ yet? It's one example. I'll go to more, but Donald Trump was sworn in on Monday. It was 4 days ago. Why wasn't Pam Bondi confirmed 30 seconds after Donald Trump was sworn in? And let me explain why this is a huge, huge deal. There are things we know, and this is just about the DOJ. This will apply to everything we talk about here. We know that a shredder truck has appeared in front of the DOJ. We know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, for decades, including under Trump, the DOJ has been populated by communist activists who believe in using the rule of law against Republicans and Republicans alone. We know those people are in the building still. What do you think they're doing? You know what? Today was Thursday. As you watch me here on I'm Right, unless you're delayed watching it on Friday, but you get what I'm saying. As you watch me here, what do you think those communists spent the day doing at the DOJ while they wait for the reformer, allegedly, Pam Bondi to come in? Do you think they sat there just twiddling their thumbs? Do you think these communists went into the DOJ today and they decided they were going to finally tackle crime? Hey, let's set aside all that lawfare stuff. Let's find some murderers. Let's go after them, guys. Or do you think these activist communists at the DOJ spent every single minute at the office today figuring out ways to make Pam Bondi, the Trump administration, stumble and fall? They did. We have report after report after report that this is taking place all over the government. I have talked to former FBI special agents, Steve Friend being one of them, telling me inside the walls of the FBI every single day as they wait in anticipation of Cash Patel coming, every single day they are fortifying. They are getting people promoted into management levels. They're making sure they send the communists, that they spread them out all throughout the building and change their titles. We already know what's happening at the ATF, their diversity guy. Well, no, he's in HR now or something like that. I found out courtesy of Robbie Starbuck. Well, remember when Robbie said this?
These agencies are attempting to conceal DEI already. I put up the documents from an NSA whistleblower last night on my X page, where it very clearly shows that the NSA was planning to conceal their DEI program under a new name. I got that up. Elon Musk responded to it. They are going to be on this. They're going to stop it. But we're going to need to go agency by agency investigating them to ensure that every piece of these programs is obliterated.
It's not just ATF, NSA, FBI, God only knows what they're doing. It's CIA, DOJ, James O'Keefe went undercover. They're already making plans at the HHS. So this.
People joke about the deep state, but like to some degree it's real because they have ways that they can slow things down or block you without you realizing it.
Meet Byron Cohen, an advisor at the White House.
RFK Jr. is a very bad pick for HHS. There's a good chance that the bureaucracy just crushes him.
Is there anything that you're gonna do?
I would consider like slowing things down.
I can't really think of anyone who I would less rather have be president than Donald Trump.
Can you give me an example of like how you think they'll do it when RFK gets in?
One thing you might be able to do to like sort of make him think like something is happening when it's not.
Every day. So this brings me to my point here. Why are we waiting? And this is where people will start, well, Democrats are being obstructionists and they're obstructing. Okay, but we have a majority and a fairly comfortable majority in the United States Senate. Where is the GOP? Why are we waiting? Why do we not have speed and violence of action? January 20th, on Monday, Donald Trump should have been sworn in, and it should have been confirmation vote after confirmation vote after confirmation vote after confirmation vote. Instead, every single day, here we are, January 23rd. We have another hearing today. Maybe votes will be next week sometime. Well, I'm not really sure. Let's get some more. We still have to gather the facts. Day after day after day after day, the communist is building up his fortifications within the walls of the federal government, and the low-T GOP is allowing it to happen. It is driving me freaking crazy. Pam Bondi has the most important position in this government besides Donald Trump himself. The DOJ, the Attorney General, the DOJ Central Command for communist lawfare in this country. And here we are, days we are waiting. And while we wait, they are deleting emails, they are shredding papers, they are covering their tracks, changing job titles, moving people around to and fro. While we sit here and twiddle our thumbs, the communist menace is anchoring himself inside the federal government. And I cannot stand it. And you know what drives me nuts is I don't see many people talking about this. But, I mean, GOP officials, I know you're upset about it. I'm upset about it. But where's the GOP? What are they doing? But we all, of course, know exactly what they're doing. They're doing what they always do. They're allowing the communists as much rope as they possibly can give them. That's how much they're giving them. Well, we'll wait another couple of days. Well, we wouldn't want to violate norms. Oh, I know, they're just being crazy. Well, but Pam Bondi, next week? I don't know. I've got golf on Thursday. That's what we get all the time from the GOP, and it drives me friggin' nuts. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Jim Jordan doesn't drive me nuts. He's one of the good people there. Let's talk to Jim Jordan next about all the garbage going on. Is anyone actually going to go to prison? I don't know. Before we talk to Jim, let me talk to you about sleeping like a baby every night. You see, dream powder from Beam, it'll have you sleeping like a baby every single night. And you can take Dream Powder every day. Well, it's just a cup of hot chocolate. One, because it's delicious, and two, it's natural. It's drug-free. It's not a pill. It's not a prescription. You're not wrecking yourself. And you'll know it's natural when you wake up the next morning. Because you don't wake up feeling like garbage. You wake up feeling great. Go. Feel great every day, like I do. ShopBeam.com/JesseKelly. We'll be back. All right, well, there's obviously a lot of incredibly important news to cover and updates we need. We have the southern border getting more secure by the moment, Lord willing, some sanity coming back to the government, the Middle East chaos, so we need to focus on the important things first with the big cheese on the Judiciary Committee, Congressman Jim Jordan from Ohio, and that most important thing is our Ohio State Buckeyes being champions. How's that Michigan loss looking now, people?
Yeah, go Bucks! What a week it's been for Ohioans. We got two new senators. We got J.D. Vance sworn in as vice president. Of course, President Trump's in the White House. We can all be glad about that. And then of course the Buckeyes win. So Monday was a good day.
Congressman, tell us about this new senator from Ohio. People not from Ohio are not familiar with this human being. I like J.D. Vance. I like how J.D. Vance voted. Is this that kind of guy?
Yeah, he John Huston is our lieutenant governor. He's going to be great. And then, of course, Bernie Marino he's now our senior senator from Ohio, and he's been in office, 20 days? So we got two new senators, both good members. I think will be great senators. And sort of in that, particularly, I think J.D. is much like, Bernie is much like J.D., a business guy, successful guy. So I think they're both going to be fine.
Why didn't you go to the Senate? A lot of people love being in the House. Is it because you're such a big shot in the House? It'd be nice to not have to run for office every 2 years.
Yeah, but when you look, you have to give up being chairman. I was, the top top Republican and the ranking member when the Democrats were in charge of the Congress and on the committee. Then became chairman. So you have to give that up if you're running. It's one of our rules. And I just I like the House. I like the 4th District. Great people and the work we get to do over here in the House, particularly as chairing the committee.
Plus the Senate generally sucks anyway. All right, so let's focus on things like this January 6th investigation you have going. What are you looking into? What's going on?
Well, I think the key for me is 26 confidential human sources were there that day. We got this report from the Inspector General after the election. There was no reason, first of all, that they couldn't have given us that information before the election. 26 confidential human sources, 17 in restricted space. They weren't authorized to do that. 4 came in the Capitol. 2 of the 4 who came in the Capitol were actually asked to be here by the FBI that day. I think there's all kinds of unanswered questions, like how many of these people had been paid? How many were paid for that day? How long had they been working for the FBI as confidential human sources? How did they come in the Capitol? They walked through the door? Did they go through the windows? Were they some of the first to go in the Capitol? I mean, I want to know what's going on here. And then we don't know who planted the pipe bombs on that day. Sometimes I jokingly say, while the FBI was going after moms and dads at school board meetings, while the FBI was writing a memorandum in Richmond field office saying if you're a pro-life Catholic, you're an extremist, while they're doing all that, they couldn't tell us who planted the pipe bombs, who leaked the Dobbs decision, and who put cocaine at the White House. But when it comes to January 6th, I think this 26 confidential human sources is something that the American people deserve answers to. What were they really doing? What were they up to? How long have they been there? All those kind of things. So that's kind of where I think we'll start to focus of that subcommittee's work.
You and I have talked many times about this, and getting these answers from the FBI has been very difficult. They pulled the stonewalling thing. Well, I can't comment on an ongoing investigation. That's their ultimate answer. My question is, do you think that loosens up a bit now that we have new management coming into the FBI? We just want to know what's going on. People, look, rumors are going to run wild when you keep stonewalling the American people.
Yeah. No, I think you're exactly right. Pam Bondi running the Justice Department, Todd Blanche as Deputy Attorney General, Kash Patel running the FBI. I think when we ask them for information, we will get that information, whether it's documents, whether it's people involved in some of the things we've been investigating. So, yes, I think that it's so much nicer when it's your party in charge and you got good people who understand that they're supposed to serve the American people when they run these agencies, and you can just ask them for the information and get that information. So yes, we anticipate that happening. As soon as Pam Bondi gets confirmed, Todd Blanche and Kash Patel, we'll be asking for the information we need on all these issues. The school board issue, the attack on pro-life Catholics. They were trying to put confidential human sources in the parish, in the church, by the way, there in the Richmond area. That's how ridiculous it was. Information we want to know about January 6th. Information we still want to know about the censorship effort from the Biden administration that we think we've been so effective in stopping. So all those things, we'll get it from people who understand the role they're supposed to play serving the American people when they run these agencies.
Congressman, what about the January 6th committee people? I realize there's a pardon there and whatnot. I don't think Liz Cheney's going to jail. I'm not saying that. But can we get answers out of these people now? It would be nice to know exactly what nefarious deeds took place inside that committee.
Yeah, all that's on the table. I want to start with the information that we can get. And then once you get that information, you make a determination. Does it make sense to do a deposition of some people? But I think you first get the information and find out all what happened. Now, one of the things we know, it looks like transcripts of depositions they took weren't preserved. That's a concern. Why weren't they preserved? I think you first start with what we were just talking about before, getting this information from the Justice Department about what went on. Then I also want to look at it from the Fani Willis, Nathan Wade angle. We know Nathan Wade came to D.C. He billed for hours where it looks like he was meeting with folks on the January 6th committee, meeting with folks in the Justice Department, and potentially meeting with folks in the White House. We want to look at that information as well. So all that is part of our ongoing work and this look back that we think is necessary to get answers for the people of this country.
The destruction of transcripts and tapes and things like that, obviously it looks awful. It is awful. All that's awful. We all get that. But is it criminal? You know, that's the thing, because it should be criminal. You can't just destroy that. That's the American people's evidence. It doesn't belong to you. But is it a crime?
Yeah, I think there's a real question whether it is. We'll look at that. Some of this was given to the White House. What happened then? Maybe some of these interviews were more casual. There's no court reporter there, which doesn't make sense to me. We did, I think, this past Congress, 157 different either depositions or transcribed interviews, and every one of those from our committee work, we have a court reporter there. Taking these down, recording and getting a transcript. So I don't get that. It's something I think we need to examine, and it's why the speaker has designated a subcommittee that Representative Loudermilk will be chairing to focus in on some of these issues.
DEI is getting the axe all over the government, by the grace of God. That miserable commie filth is getting run out of the government, but they're not leaving. We all have word from the NSA, ATF, FBI. I mean, God only knows, I'm sure it's every branch, where they're just kind of spreading those little cancers throughout the government trying to hide. Does the judiciary have any kind of a role in looking at that and making sure these people, the bad people, don't get to just burrow themselves into the government further?
Yeah, I think the agencies, the people President Trump has nominated to head these agencies will look at that and say if there's games being played. No, that's not how it works. We got the executive order from the president, you know, ABC you later. You got to go if you're one of these DEI people. And then as far as Congress goes, an oversight function, that would largely happen in the oversight committee. This is about government broad. Now, to the extent it's going on in the Justice Department, we could look at that. But I have total confidence in Pam Bondi, Todd Blanche, and Kash Patel once they get confirmed to get in there and make sure that this is not going on in the Justice Department.
Thank goodness. Congressman, as always, go Bucks. Appreciate you. All right. Let's dig into the border a bit. What can we anticipate now? What's going on now? The Marines are on the way. Before we get to that, let's talk about your phone. I know it can be hard to put your money where your morals are. I know. Oftentimes, it's impossible. Good luck trying to buy a new car from someone who doesn't go all rainbow every July or June. I don't remember which that month is. But with your cell phone, it's easy because of Pure Talk. There's no excuse not to switch to Pure Talk. You have AT&T, you have T-Mobile, you have Verizon. I get all that. You save money when you switch to Pure Talk. They hire Americans. They're wonderful to deal with. Just pleasant Americans who speak English. And they're on the same 5G network, so you're not dropping calls or sacrificing coverage. Why wouldn't you switch? They're giving out free phones right now. Galaxies, iPhone 14s with qualifying plans. Freaking switch. I know you got cracks on that phone of yours. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
I'm not going back to Haiti.
One of those threats is this illegal alien from Haiti. ICE says he's a gang member with 17 criminal convictions in recent years.
Trump, you feel me? Yo, Biden forever, bro. Thank Obama for everything that he did for me, bro.
Sorry, I just think that whole thing is hilarious. How much does that suck? You have to go from there back to Haiti? Sucks to be you. Joining me now, Alexis Wilkins, press secretary for the great Congressman Abe Hamadeh, and of course, Brianna Lyman, elections correspondent for The Federalist. Alexis, he most definitely is going back to Haiti, and that also means the scumbags in the Biden administration knew exactly where that savage was for the entirety of his presidency, and they just freaking let him just go do his thing.
Yes, he is going home with a one-way ticket, thanks to the Trump administration finally coming in here and ensuring that law and order is actually something that's pursued in the United States. I mean, really, we're just getting back to law and order. The Biden administration knew where this guy was. They knew that he was likely dangerous. I mean, the things that we're finding on illegal immigrants that have crossed the border, we're finding UN gift cards, we're finding cell phones. I think one guy had $500 worth of gift cards and five cell phones. They know where these people are. They are allowing them to hurt American citizens. And I'm so happy to see a stop to this, especially with a semi-comical clip as this one.
I think it's funny they found them, by the way, because even illegals don't spend gift cards. None of us do. All right, Brianna, the Lake and Riley Act, very popular in Republican circles, not so popular with AOC. Here she was.
In this bill, if a person is so much as accused of a crime, if someone wants to point a finger and accuse someone of shoplifting, they will be rounded up and put into a private detention camp and signed and sent out for deportation without a day in court.
Yes, why is that a problem for anybody?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all on board for that. You know, first, when we talk about the Lake and Riley Act in general, this is a great step in the right direction, but we have to remember that there is still no accountability right now for Alejandro Mayorkas and Joe Biden. They may not be in office anymore, but Alejandro Mayorkas was tasked with securing the homeland and making sure our border was secure. Him and Joe Biden took deliberate steps that did the opposite and led to a scenario in which Jose Ybarra was able, he was essentially flourishing, to murder someone. There needs to be accountability for that, and I hope Republicans don't let that fall to the wayside simply because they're out of office. As for AOC, I think she speaks what she's saying kind of goes to a larger point. For some reason, the left and Democrats do not see a difference between an American citizen and someone who is on American soil. And that is inherently detrimental to the future of this country. Because if you can't understand that there is inherent value in being American and protecting Americans and American culture, you cannot create a nation that sustains itself for the future. And AOC is not the only person who thinks like this. There are millions of her out there. Unfortunately, not all of them are in Congress, but that's a real threat.
Yeah, it is an extreme threat. And actually, you've been hot lately on the census. I wonder how many American citizens know that these illegals are counted in the census. When I tell my normie friends that, they're just stunned, or they think I'm lying. They think I'm some kind of right-wing propagandist, but you've been talking about that a lot.
Yeah, you know, Donald Trump tried to get illegal immigrants out of the census, and Joe Biden actually did the opposite and made sure that they were going to be counted. And what people, I think, fail to realize is that the census accounts for things like electoral college votes and congressional apportionment. And the idea that an illegal immigrant isn't allowed to vote, which is true, right, because they're not citizens, but that they somehow deserve the power to dilute the weight of an American voter by artificially inflating certain areas or districts, upping that population, which then gives those areas more congressional representation and dilutes the power of, let's say, a smaller area that's comprised of 100% American citizens who can vote, is preposterous.
Yeah, it's insane. Alexis, we've seen publication after publication now try to scream about this whole birthright citizenship thing that Donald Trump is trying to correctly do away with. And it's crazy to me how many different entities and people, legal and otherwise, in this country just really feel entitled to having citizenship in the greatest country on earth. They really, they feel like it should just belong to everyone.
It's ridiculous to see that people can jump from breaking the law to actually becoming legal citizens in this country through illegal ways. The thing about it is that just because you were born here, people found a lot of ways around this. And I know that people want to reference the 14th Amendment, and I understand that this will probably have its bout in courts, but people have abused this practice. And the Biden administration has not enforced any legal immigration. They have not encouraged it. In fact, they have done exactly the opposite by giving illegal immigrants more rights and things to use, and cash and phones, as I mentioned before, than legal citizens. So why wouldn't they abuse this loophole that they found? And I think shutting it down and starting over and figuring out how to do this the right way is the right thing to do, honestly, because if they came here illegally, they've already broken the first principle. They came here illegally. Shut it down.
One thing I've found encouraging, Brianna, lately, maybe it's just in my head, but it doesn't appear that the media hoaxes that they used to be able to create out of just thin air, it doesn't appear they're landing anymore. They tried one with Pete Hegseth. Well, they've been trying one every 35 seconds with Pete Hegseth, talking to his ex-wife's dog's uncle's mother that Pete had a beer one time. And it just doesn't seem to be landing. Are you getting that impression? It doesn't feel like it's landing to me.
It's not. You know, what the mainstream propaganda press on the left has not realized for some reason is that they haven't learned their lesson. The American people repudiated the mainstream narratives that we were, told for the past 8 years, right? After seeing hoax after hoax, lie after lie, people have tuned out. There is record high distrust in the left-wing corporate press because of their own actions. And you would think that after this election, where they ignored every single hoax that they tried to throw out against Donald Trump or Republicans, they would have learned their lesson that character assassination is no longer a convincing argument for the American people. They're doubling down on it. And so I think you won't see, however, the same reaction from the public toward these reports, because they're so unsubstantiated and they are so much They're simply created to create fodder for Democrats. That's their only purpose, because these aren't journalists, they're propagandists.
Alexis, I'll be honest, I had no idea you were a press secretary now. What's it like being a press secretary? Is that weird? Does it feel awesome or a little bit gross?
It's exciting to be part of an office that is trying to right the ship and promote an agenda that is actually, I think, aiming to help the American people. Our agenda is very consistent with the things that the American people voted for on November 5th, for, of course, President Trump's agenda, outing a lot of the things that the Biden administration tried to bring into our government, and, of course, saving money. Respecting American people and the things that they want and their rights and the Constitution, a wild concept. It's nice to be able to be on a team that is committed to righting the ship. Of course, Congressman Abe is on the HASC committee. He's on Veteran Affairs. He's a veteran himself. And so he is committed to making sure that those stakeholders are respected as well. So let's, back the blue, respect our military, and get this thing sorted.
Ladies, appreciate you as always. All right. Secret Service has a new director. What do we make of that? We'll find out next. We have a new Secret Service director, and to put it mildly, that was really, really necessary after the embarrassing failures we have seen. But what do we know about him? What kind of reforms do we need? Joining me now, Susan Crabtree, Real Clear Politics, national political correspondent. Okay, Susan, tell me about Sean. This is not a household name most people know.
Sean Curran is, he is the head of the Donald Trump detail from the campaign, and he's been with him for 2 years. He was the one of the first Secret Service agents to leap onto Donald Trump, and in that whole situation where they put their bodies, they create a body bunker, they call it. But as you know, that body bunker really could not withstand the tenacity of Donald Trump, and he went, broke through it and yelled, pumped his fist and yelled, fight, fight, fight. So yes, the person that you are have the circle around, that's Sean. And he has a pretty good reputation in the Secret Service. People, he's very level-headed, people like him. But he was also in charge of that detail where there were layers of failures. So there was a site agent and there's a lead agent. The site agent is on his detail and she's the one that did not properly cover that AGR building. And then a supervisor, you know, a senior supervisor to her also did not cover, check her work to make sure that AGR building was covered correctly. So there's a mixed feelings about the situation with Sean. Certainly, people are, certainly it's eons better, it's worlds better than it was just yesterday when he was not named officially. But there are some concerns that he doesn't have the forceful personality that you might need in a job that you're, with such a overhaul is needed in at the Secret Service, and with, you know, the president's life on the line. But they did just come off across, after a wonderfully successful inauguration that they brought inside, which made it a little bit easier to protect the president.
Okay, Susan, so let's talk about that day, and then we'll get back to Sean maybe in a little bit. You've been digging into this a lot, doing some great work, I should point out. What do you know? What do we believe so far about that day? Because, Susan, failures, man, failure to secure a rooftop 148 meters from the head of the president of the United States of America, to a lot of people, that looks malicious. Either you are weapons grade weak and stupid, or you're involved. What do you know? What do you think so far?
Well, I don't rule out the politics that definitely played a role. I go where the story leads, and I will continue to go where the story leads. What we know right now is that Kimberly Cheadle, the acting director, who was very close to the Bidens, very, very close to Jill Biden. Jill Biden actually got her a job at PepsiCo after she was on the vice president's detail. When Biden was vice president, she went to PepsiCo. Then they brought her back to lead the Secret Service when Biden became president. That's sort of problematic. It's really problematic. There's been multiple commissions. Just recently, this independent review board, bipartisan, that was appointed by Biden, and then a blue ribbon commission back during the Obama years, that both have said you really need outside, someone from the outside, because the Secret Service, there is a culture of corruption that has been brewing at the Secret Service for decades, and no one has been able to change that. Donald Trump came closest to it when he appointed a Marine general during his first term, Tex Ailes, to head the Secret Service, but even that Marine general was run out of town by the corrupt elements within the Secret Service that don't like change, that are averse to change. So I think Sean is worlds better, and everybody's rooting for him, his ability to protect the president and overhaul the agency. But even you have Dan Bongino, you know, as this agent of 11 years of the agency, and, you know, popular commentator, very close to Donald Trump, who's basically openly saying he's disappointed in the selection of Sean Curran on X.com in response to some of my stories and even on his podcast. So I think people are deeply concerned that this agency needs to be overhauled from top to bottom. I'm hearing that some of the top agents that were close to Ron Rowe, and they're from the Clinton and Biden eras, going back all the way to Clinton, that they are going to be out the door at a very rapid clip in the next, you know, certainly this week, maybe 24, 48 hours.
Susan, can you explain or expand, I guess I should say, a little bit more on this culture of corruption in the Secret Service? Because they've been in the news a lot lately, but for most Americans, they haven't traditionally looked at this organization in that way. What kind of culture of corruption are we talking about?
We're talking about anybody who's ever covered the Secret Service. You know about the uneven discipline. If you are basically in the right crowds, if you've rubbed shoulders with the right people, haven't upset the people in power, then if you do something wrong, you won't be disciplined. If you're not in that crowd, then you will be disciplined. It's completely uneven. There's also a lot of fraternization that's going on in the Secret Service that certainly I know from being a military brat cannot occur up the chain and down the chain of command in the military. But it happens all the time in Secret Service, and then people have they have something on you if they know that about you, and there's all this backbiting and rumor mongering in the ranks over those types of, and it's also, you know, just I think that is also stemming, that's been the case since, you know, Cartagena, even before obviously Cartagena, when they had the prostitute scandal down in Colombia that erupted in the headlines in Washington DC during the Obama administration, and that's when I first started covering the Secret Service. But that it's even gone on, you know, decades before that. And there's also this problem with hiring. When you have this DEI policies, you know, Kimberly Cheadle was just really leaned in. Since she was hand selected by the Biden, she leaned into all the executive orders on DEI. And she made this 30 by 30 pledge. She came out with this and signed it. It's a national movement to have 30% of your workforce in a law enforcement agencies be women, especially women at officers and agents, and in this case, uniform division officers. So she was at 24%, I heard, when she departed, when she was pushed out after her ridiculous slope roof comments during that hearing, the congressional hearing, right after the July 13th assassination attempt. So it's Cheadle is a political animal, and she denied the Secret Service extra assets for Donald Trump, even though his rallies were attracting tens of thousands of people, and she treated him by protocol, an outmoded protocol that former presidents don't get counter snipers, former presidents don't get counter assault teams, they don't get counter surveillance units. So, you know, Sean Curran rightly pushed back repeatedly against those security denials, saying this doesn't make any sense. And then at the, as you know, there was an Iranian threat at the very, very end of the while they were trying to prepare for the Butler rally. In fact, the FBI arrested this Pakistani individual with ties to Iran the day before the rally, and the detail was read into that threat. So they knew that they needed more assets, and they should have been operating in a very high stress level, you know, high security level. And the fact that nobody checked who was on that AGR building and how they were going to be covering it in terms of their law enforcement partners, it doesn't make any sense. And there was problems with the counter snipers too, and where they were positioned. You'd be able to ask really good questions about that. But you know, in where they were located on the building, there was a line of sight issue. There was between the AGR building and the counter snipers, there was a huge tree right there. And they didn't protect the AGR building. So there was but I will say that the counter snipers are getting most of the blame because they were sent in very late because of this Iranian threat. They were sent in 2 days, and they usually take about 4 to 5 days to do their site evaluation and write up their report and provide where they're going to be. So they were thrown in late and were hustling, and it's really the issue with where the perimeter was located, because Ryan Ruth got, you know, access to the venue. It didn't take much. You know, the public was looking right at, the public could, you know, had a line of sight problems with them too. So there were just multiple failures, the siloed communications. We could go on and on, but there are some concerns that Sean Curran led the team where this inexperienced woman agent named Mio Perez was the site agent, and she was working with her counterpart, another woman, Meredith Bank, from the Pittsburgh field office, and they were the ones in charge of the security, and it fell apart. So it is their fault, but it's also their supervisor's fault. So blame is going around between Pittsburgh field office and the Donald Trump detail that Sean Curran headed. And right now people are concerned in the Pittsburgh field office that they're going to take the fall. And because Sean is moving up, they're not going, the Donald Trump detail is going to skate and they're not going to be held responsible. So there's a lot of dissension going on in the Secret Service right now. It's really a troubled agency. People are just have their, they're worried about their jobs. Morale is terrible from the campaign. They were running at a terrible pace during the campaign, no time off, and they weren't getting paid for their overtime anymore because they already hit the ceiling for overtime. So they felt like in many ways they were working for free. And the surveys have been done on federal agencies, and they have one of the lowest morale of all federal agencies. So he's really got his work cut out from him.
Man alive, he certainly does. Susan, that was awesome. Great reporting. You come back soon, please. Thank you. I almost forgot about the whole scandal in Cartagena, and now this is a family show with children watching, so I'm not going to go into the details, but they were having a great time down in Colombia. A really great time. That was not confidence inspiring. And we still don't know. Was someone in the government involved that day? I hope not, but we don't know. Anyway, we're not done yet. We'll be back. All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And nothing lightens my mood more than watching Tim Burchett kills me. Okay, Tim Burchett, great congressman from Tennessee. You know, he comes on this show all the time. We loved him. He's just so dry and matter of fact. And he just doesn't care. He very clearly doesn't care about any of these people. And he went on with Jim Acosta, and he just abused that little snake.
Is covered on CNN. What you're saying, this is not Fox, Congressman. You can't just spin a tail and pull the wool over people's eyes. Yeah. This is CNN. This is the news. We're asking you to come on and tell the truth.
And that's why more people are watching the Cartoon Network SpongeBob reruns right now.
I see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.